have Whitetailopoly. It's like this hunting game, so it's like all these deer and stuff, and you can buy like hunting properties. It's so awesome. But I love Monopoly, but it does take a long time. And here's one thing about Monopoly that I really like: the get out of jail free card. You guys know what that is? Can you pop that up there? You guys know what this does? Get you out of jail free, right? So otherwise you're gonna wait a couple turns or you're gonna pay money to get out of jail. This deal just gets you out. So if you land on the wrong thing and get sent to jail and you got one of these puppies, boom, comes out on the table and you're good to go. How cool would it be to have a get out of jail free card in real life? Ooh. Right? Pretty sweet. So, like, you're in class and you forget to study for that test, or you just don't feel like it. And here comes a test, and your teacher's walking around, passing them out, and you just pop out your get out of jail free card. And you're like, nope, don't feel like taking the test today, A plus. Right? How sweet would that be? Or if you grew up with a mama like mine, I know you've met Linda Jones. Some of you guys met her when you tried to take more than one sandwich for the first time, and she was like all over it, you know? Linda didn't let anything get by in my house. So growing up, like, she was always right there. Like, it was very strict in my house. Nothing got by Linda. And so it would have been really nice to have a few get out of jail free cards growing up. You might be able to relate to that. Unfortunately, life isn't usually like that. Or fortunately. But tonight, we're going to see this get out of jail free card that Paul had, because we're still talking about the Apostle Paul. This is our third week looking at this cool thing, this journey that he's on, where him and some disciples were walking, and the Lord's like, hey, I don't want you to go there. And so they turn and go somewhere else. And the Holy Spirit's like, stop, I don't want you to go there either. So then he like turns them again, and he's like, hey, listen, God says, I want you to go to Macedonia, which is Greece. And so they say, all right, this is where God's sending us. And they obey, which is always good to do, obey God when he speaks. And there they go, and they end up in this place called Philippi. And when they get to Philippi, they go to this, they're looking for this place to pray. And on their way to pray, because that's the most important thing we can do, is get before the Lord and pray, they had the ability to stop and see these ladies that were just sitting there that most people would have just walked by. And because God gave them eyes to see them, and they stopped and sat and had this conversation with these awesome people, they got to hear their story and get to know them and find out how great they were. And here's the best part. These ladies got to hear the gospel of Jesus. They got to hear how much God loves them. They got to hear about real hope, true hope, that they could really find in God. And this one lady that heard it, her name was Lydia, who was like a fashion guru, very influential in Philippi. She ends up accepting Jesus that day because Paul had just the eyes to see people that were there and didn't just walk by. He could have been like, hey, we're on a mission. Like, we got to go. Like, we're busy. We can't stop. But instead, he was able to take time on the journey as he was going to see them and share the gospel. And she was the first member of the church of Philippi because God slowed them down and let them have that conversation. So then they get up and she's like, hey, you guys need to come to my house. So I want to host you. I want to celebrate what had, you know, what's happened. And so they're like, we're going to go. And on their way, they're walking, and the Lord gives them this kind of mission to preach. And as they're preaching, this slave girl comes up behind them who is possessed by a demon. And so she starts just like yelling these things out and mocking them as they're trying to preach for days. So then Paul turns to this girl and casts the demon out of her. And she gets saved right there. She becomes a second member of this church. Both of these have been very unimpressive moments. They haven't seemed like they were going to be the moment that would change Paul's life and like change the course of history. They were just like little moments. Moments most of us would have been annoyed by or walked right past. But because as Paul was going, he had the eyes of Jesus to see people and to respond with the love of Christ. Here's the first two members of the church of Philippi who got saved. Their eternities were changed. Like, they were destined for eternity in hell, but now they were going to go to heaven forever with Jesus because Paul just took the time to talk to them, to notice that they were there, to reach out with a solution to this girl's need. And so they go from there, and they keep walking. And as they're walking, we're going to see what happens tonight, because these guys got upset. They're like, you just took our money, man. This girl, that demon in her was making us money. She had these powers, these things that she could do. She could see the future. She was lying to people and telling them that she was like reading their future, and people were paying tons of money for it. And Now we're making no money. So we want you to go to jail. So they get the cops and they come over and they beat Paul and Silas and these other guys badly. And then they throw them into prison, into the deepest part of the dungeon. Well, here's an issue with that, because they were Roman citizens. And Roman citizens got the right to a trial before they could ever be judged or punished like that. Nobody ever stopped to ask. And here they are, sitting in prison. And that's where we start tonight. We're in Acts 16, verses 25 to 40. They're sitting in prison, and here's what happens. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Stop right there for a second. Wait a minute. How is that even possible that that would be their attitude? Paul deserved a trial. Paul deserved to be treated with respect. Paul deserved, as a citizen of Rome, to have his rights paid attention to. And they weren't. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison unfairly, against the law. His rights were stripped away from him, and he's sitting in prison. And instead of being probably like I would have been, and complaining and being bitter and yelling and being upset with God and whatever else, he's singing praises to God. He's praying. And it says the other prisoners were sitting around. They're listening to these praise and worship songs that Paul's singing. Like, how could he do such a thing? Why wasn't he upset? Why wasn't he ticked off that that had happened? Why wasn't he complaining about his situation? Instead, he's sitting there and he's just saying, God, I love you. God, you're worthy. He's praying and singing these awesome things to the Lord, because you know why? His greatest prize wasn't his rights as a Roman citizen. His greatest prize was Jesus Christ. Strip the rights away, throw me in prison, beat me, whatever you want to do. You can't take Jesus away from me. And that's how you can sit in a prison in those circumstances and still praise. Even when you're being treated unfairly. Even when you feel like life's just coming at you and you don't deserve that. You're able to praise Jesus with joy in your heart because he is your greatest treasure. Not all of those other things. What an awesome example Paul is to us. You know, what's your go-to move, you know, when like things go wrong or you feel like you're treated unfairly? You're sitting in class and your teacher gives you a grade. You're like, I don't deserve this. I studied so hard. You're like, I deserve a better grade than this. And your teacher's like, nah, you know, how do you respond to that? You know, you've turned in those projects that you spent, like you pulled it all nighter and you were like, I'm going to work so hard. I'm going to get a great grade. And then you get it back and your teacher's like, red all over your paper, you know? Red marks. Like, seriously? Or you're just a little teeny bit late. You're not even that late with a homework assignment, and they're like, nope, can't turn it in, sorry. And you're like, what? And how was your response in those moments where you feel like you're not being treated fairly? What about a friend who responds to you or something you said in a certain way that you don't think was fair? Maybe they're upset about something. You're like, that wasn't even... I didn't mean anything wrong by that. How could you be so upset? How do you respond to that friend? Do you immediately jump down their throat and get upset and respond? You're like, man, this was unfair treatment. Or do you have grace and mercy and love as a response? Patience and forgiveness. Knowing that you mess up all the time too, just like them, just like me. How about that coach who benches you or doesn't give you the position that you know you deserve more than the other player that he did give it to? And you're on the field, like, just watching with this jealousy in your heart, like, man, I deserve that. I'm better. I work harder. I show up more than they show up to this sport. The list goes on, right? We can just keep listing ways that you and I get treated unfairly. Most of us have not been beaten and thrown into a prison. Most of us haven't seen what Paul has seen, but we all know what it's like to feel that unfair treatment. We all know what it feels like to have a broken heart. What's your response in those moments? Does it look like what Paul's doing here? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus to the point where you're like, he's my greatest prize? I can still sing praises to God even in the middle of this. I can still pray and celebrate him even though I'm sitting in this moment because I still have Jesus and I want him more than anything else. And so as Paul is doing this and these prisoners are listening, look what happens. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Here's this really unimpressive moment. This moment where you and I would think nothing good is ever going to happen in a dungeon. A dark, dirty, disgusting dungeon. That's not where your life changes for the better, you know? What a small moment. And then God shows up. Over and over, we're seeing in this series, as we're looking at these passages of scripture, God loves to take the unimpressive moments that you would just walk right by and hide the biggest results, the biggest choices of your life in that really unimpressive moment. Here in this dungeon, and then God shows up with this earthquake. And it shakes the prison and it breaks everybody's chains off and it opens all the doors. So now the greatest get out of jail free card has just been handed to Paul and these other guys. A real life one. They could have just left. They could have ditched. They could have abandoned it. They're sitting there and already being treated unfairly. They shouldn't have been there. They should have had a trial. Like, they had every reason in the world to just leave. But they stayed. They stayed, even though they could have thrown that get out of jail free card down on the table and said, see ya. Because they weren't so focused on their fair treatment and their rights and what they deserved that they were about to miss out on what God had planned. They saw God was moving. They saw that God was at work and they're like, we're not going anywhere. Because I love Jesus more than I love my fair treatment and my rights. I'm following Jesus. I'm staying right here where he's at in this prison, and I'm saying yes to God. And God might ask you in your life to do some things that are sacrificial. You know how I know that? Because the guy who saved you from sin, he did that for you. Jesus gave up his rights. He was perfect. He didn't deserve to go to that cross. He didn't deserve to die for you. He didn't deserve to pay those penalties. You did. And yet he said yes. And he went to the cross. And in his sacrifice, he showed you how much he loves you. That's how I know you and I are going to face moments where we're going to have to say, like, I want Jesus more than I want to be treated fairly. I'm willing to sacrifice to show people love that is a sacrificial love. Because our Savior Jesus Christ did it, and he is our greatest example, right? Then it says this, look what happens. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. So this guy who was holding them unfairly, right? Their captor was holding them there. He wakes up and sees that all the doors are open, that all the chains are broken, and he's like, they must be gone. It's dark in there, and he's assuming, like, I'm going to get killed. They're going to think I released all these guys. Like, I'm going to be punished for this. I'm the jailer. It's my responsibility to keep them here in prison, and I didn't. And so what's going to happen to me? All these thoughts going through his mind. Pulls out his sword and he's like, I'd rather die than face the shame and embarrassment and maybe punishment that's coming my way. And so as he's about to kill himself in prison over this, look what happens next. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we're all here. Paul cries out and stops him. He says, we didn't go anywhere. You don't need to do that. We stayed right here. Can you imagine what that dude was thinking? Like, what? Why would you stay? Why are you still here? If I were you, I would have left. I would have taken off so quickly and been out of this prison. And there they were. No chains. Nothing was holding them there. The doors were wide open. They just chose, freely chose, to stay right there, to sit in their unfair moment, to endure their rights that were stripped from them, to endure the injustice. They chose it because they had something bigger that they knew was coming that they were looking forward to, something better than their fair treatment. They were looking to Jesus. And he was able to cry out and say, don't put that sword away. Don't kill yourself. They didn't turn in that get out of jail free card, right? They stayed. They saved the life of the man holding them unjustly there in that prison. They saved his life. The dude who was doing the injustice, they stop and save that guy's life. Doesn't that seem like just so weird? He's the enemy, isn't he? Like in this moment, and yet they're saving and rescuing this guy. You know why it seems weird to us? Because it's not natural. It's not what most of us would do. It's not what our flesh would do. That's supernatural right there. You want to see a superpower? That's a superpower. To turn your heart and surrender it to Jesus, no matter the circumstance. That's supernatural to sit there and go, even though everyone else would have run, I stayed. Not because I'm strong, but because my eyes are so fixed on my Savior. And I want him more than anything else. He kept me seated right here in this moment. Put your sword away. The jailer called for the lights and rushed in. It's like, what? Why are they here? Trembling with fear, this guy's shaking. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, get this right here. Don't miss this. What must I do to be saved? Why are you in the prison? Bring me some torches. And he runs in and he's lighting it up because it's dark. And he's like, they're actually here? And he's shaking with fear and he falls down on his face before these guys. The guys who are his prisoners. He's bowing to the prisoners. Does that not seem backwards? He saw something supernatural happen too. He noticed that it wasn't natural, that people don't just do that. People fend for themselves and get what they want and what they need. They don't sit in their injustice. They don't sit in prison when they could run out freely. And he saw it. And when he saw it, he knew it had to be something bigger than just those guys. He couldn't deny the moment that that was a supernatural thing happening before him. And he fell down on his face and he says, what do I need to do to be saved? How can I have what you have? How can I be like you guys? How many people are watching you? Your brothers and your sisters, your family, your friends at school, people on your sports team, guys in the locker room. Who's watching your life? Who's watching to see what God is doing in your heart? Who's watching to see those moments as you face unfair moments and they're looking and they can see you? And what happens if they see you go, I'm going to respond with the power of Jesus instead of respond in my flesh? I'm going to respond like a brand new creation. I'm going to respond like someone that Jesus has made brand new and not like Rob Jones, the old me anymore. And they're going to see me and they're going to go, oh my gosh, what's different about you? What's changed? This is supernatural. People don't do that. They don't respond in those moments like this. Most of us want to run from moments like that. We're like, that's not a moment I want to be in. And then we miss a blessing because God uses those moments to show off in amazing ways. I wonder how many people would want to know your Savior. How many people would look to you and go, how can I be saved? You don't even have to preach the gospel at that point. You don't even have to try to like convince them. They're just asking you. They're seeing this thing happen in you, and they're going, tell me. I want that. I want to know that God that's that powerful to do that in me. What happens if you prize Jesus more than you prize anything else in your life? Anything. How does that start to change your home, your sphere of influence, your friends, your community, your world? That's what's happening here. And this guy saw it and he bows down before him. He's like, how can I be saved? He gets saved right there, right? Like it says, and they said, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. They got the opportunity because of this to be able to tell him about Jesus, that he is the only Son of God who was perfect, who came to earth to die for you and me for our sins. He didn't deserve it. He was perfect. And when he died, because he's God, he rose again 3 days later and he beat sin and he beat death. And he looked at us and said, if you trust in me, you can have life too. You can have eternal life because I just paid for it. And if you trust in Jesus, you can be saved. If you take your heart and you surrender your life and say, God, I'm yours, like this guy here wants to do, it says you will be saved. The message hasn't changed. It's always been the same. Trust Jesus with your heart and life, and you will be saved. And that's what this guy did, and his entire house got saved. Like all the people that were there gathered around listening, his family, the people that lived with him, whoever else was there, it says all of them heard, all of them saw this, and all of them got saved. What an incredible moment. I would never have thought that moment would have come from a dungeon, from a dude getting beat up and thrown in a dirty dungeon. And all of a sudden we have this entire group of people's lives. Eternities have been changed forever. That's incredible. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. I love that baptism always immediately follows salvation. Today, nowadays, we wait so long. We wait and wait and wait until this like moment. But baptism in scripture is where you say that like, hey, I'm not ashamed of what I just said I did. I just had a moment with Jesus where I surrendered my heart and I want the people in my community to know I did it. I'm not embarrassed about it. I'm not ashamed about it. And I'll boldly come to this water and I will paint this picture of what Jesus did in my heart as I go under that water and die to myself and rise again in new life in Jesus. That's what this guy did and his whole household. Some of y'all have been putting off being baptized. You're saved and you raise your hand sometimes and you're like thinking about it and then you don't do it. I want to encourage you. It's one of the most beautiful pictures you can present to your community. Before the Lord, you are obeying a command of Jesus by saying, God, I'm not ashamed of you. I want people to know I'm not ashamed of your gospel. And I come to these waters of baptism and I want my peers to know I believe in Jesus. Some of y'all who have been thinking about it and putting it off and putting it off, I want to encourage you, let tonight be the night that you say, yes, I'm going to do this thing. Don't raise your hand. Don't do the whole look at me thing and then walk by me. Come talk to me after this. Take that step of obedience and be baptized. Tell this group of people, I'm not ashamed. There they are. Immediately, these people got baptized. It says, then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. They have this awesome celebration because like, this is really good news when people accept Jesus. I don't know if you get it or not. I get a little bit excited when people accept Jesus at Firehouse. Like you probably have noticed because their whole eternity is changing. People are stepping out of death into life. They're going to spend eternity with us in heaven. They are finally meeting their creator, God, in a personal relationship. These are incredible things. I'm excited about those things. They were excited. They wanted to celebrate. They bring out the food and they celebrate. And he says, and he rejoiced. Heart full of joy. Along with his entire household, that he had believed in God. If I walked up to you tonight and I said, hey, listen, come here. do you know so-and-so just got saved? Would that trigger something in your heart? How would you respond to that? You just found out one of your friends just accepted Jesus. Would it mean anything to you? Would your heart like leap with joy? Like, what? They've been forgiven? They know Christ? They're going to be in heaven with me forever? Or is it this thing where you're just like, oh, cool. And it's really not meaning anything to you. Listen, if that's you tonight, because I've been right there. I'm describing myself at moments in my life. That's how I know that exists. You need to look at your own relationship with Christ. You're not going to be excited about other people getting saved until you're excited about Jesus. Before you try to run out and share the gospel with 100 people and get people baptized and do all this ministry that sometimes we can run and try to do, make sure that you're in love with Jesus. Make sure that he's your prize. That's the real point of this whole message, is that these people, Paul, the disciples, this jailer, his family, all of them found out one truth that will change your life. Jesus is the most important thing in all of creation. He's their prize, their greatest treasure. So when you hear the name of Jesus, your heart leaps with joy because you're like, I love him so much. He's done so much for me. So if that's you tonight, I want to challenge you. Go back to Jesus. Sit at his feet. Spend some time with him and fall back in love with Christ. They celebrate because it's awesome. These guys had believed in God. Now look how this ends. This Paul could have been such a punk here, but he isn't. It says, but when it was day, the magistrates, like the guys in charge, sent the police saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out and go in peace. But Paul says to them, because Paul knows these guys are in deep trouble. They just imprisoned us and beat us without a trial. These guys can be beaten and imprisoned now because of what they've done. So Paul's like, hey, listen, hold on. Slow your roll, bro. They've beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens and have thrown us into prison. Do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out. So it's not that Paul was like, hey, my rights just are not important at all. He's not saying that. He's not saying to be a bad steward of the things God's given you, which like your rights and fair treatment. He's not saying that. What he is saying, though, is they should never mean more to you than Jesus and obeying God. There are a lot of good things in life, but we let those good things become more important than Jesus. And once they do that, they become idols to us. And so Paul's like, oh, I ain't doing that. But as he's obeyed God and the Lord showed up, now he's saying, all right, now let's deal with the problem here. And he could have been a jerk about it. He could have been like, I want you imprisoned. I want you going to jail. I want you in trial. But he doesn't. He doesn't do that. He just says, you come and let me out. I want to see you face to face. I want you to look me in the eyes and walk me out of this prison. And so look what happens. The police reported these words to the magistrates. They go back and they tell him, hey, guys, this is what Paul said. And they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and they visited Lydia. That's how it ends. When they got there, Paul didn't say, all right, now have these guys arrested. He could have been so ugly. He deserved to be ugly to them. He deserved to now get like some fair treatment, to get justice for what they had done, but he doesn't do it. Instead, they show up and find this guy who's full of mercy and grace and love and forgiveness and kindness. It's like, you apologized. That's enough. That's enough. I wonder what was going through their minds. I wonder if they walked away. The Bible doesn't say it, but very likely they could have walked away thinking the same thing the jailer thought. Why on earth would you do that? That's something supernatural. Why would this guy forgive us like this? Why would he treat us so lovingly after what we've done? Look at how God loves to use these small moments to do really, really big things. Y'all, we've been talking about this for like 8 weeks now. Have you started to see those moments in your life? Have you stopped on your journey? Because Paul's on a journey, right? This has been a walk to Lydia's house. Like, he's just walking to Lydia's house, and all of these things are happening. People are getting saved all along the way with like every step, because he's taking the time to slow down and to love people on the way. And this whole church is being planted on one walk to a lady's house. Are you too busy? Is your calendar too full to love people and to slow down and to do ministry? You have too many things you're concerned about and care about for you, for yourself, that you don't have time to slow down and just serve Jesus and love other people? Maybe you need to kick some things out of your calendar. Rob, that's so unfair. I deserve to do all these fun things. You do deserve it, but do you love them or do you love Jesus? I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm just trying to be fair here. Like, that's what Paul's doing. If we say Jesus is our prize, shouldn't it show up in the way we live and the choices we make? And sometimes those are hard decisions. Maybe you need to make the hard decision. Paul lives out the Great Commission. I'm going to close with this, because you guys know in Matthew 28, it says that as you are going, be making disciples. Jesus, as Paul was going on this walk to Lydia's house, he was making disciples the whole way. God, let that be our lives. Let Firehouse be a group of people that as we're going about our lives and the things we're doing, that the whole time we have eyes on the prize of Jesus Christ. As we're at soccer practice or football or in our class studying or at Firehouse or out in the store shopping, that we would be people that have eyes on the prize, making disciples, not because we're doing work, but because we love Jesus. And it pours out of our hearts and our mouths. We live it and we speak it. Let that be us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a second? Would you just ask the Lord to calm your heart? At Firehouse, we are all about listening to the voice of the Lord and obeying him when he speaks. So would you listen for his voice right now? Just, we've talked about a lot of stuff, and it's been heavy, I know. Would you just stop and quiet your heart and just say, God, speak. Just talk to me. Just let me hear your voice. Just take a second and listen to the voice of the Lord.